Our gospel is from John, the second chapter. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. You may be seated. I invite you to pray with me this morning. Holy God, you have a word for us today, a word of comfort and a word of challenge, a word of hope and a word of guidance for our lives. Make our hearts soft. Plant your word in us that it may bear fruit through our lives. Amen. Has anyone here ever experienced disruption in your life? Anybody? Anybody? Yeah, right? Now, I don't just mean the small stuff, like when you're in a hurry at the grocery store and somebody with that overflowing cart cuts right in front of you in line and really slows you down. I'm talking about the big disruptions, right? Those things that are problematic or dramatic or even maybe disturbing. Maybe something changed about your job recently and it really has thrown you for a loop. Or maybe there's a relationship in your life that's taken a lot of energy and time and it's strained. Or maybe you've had a health diagnosis. Or maybe something changed in your family schedule that means reshuffling all those things that you were already juggling, trying to keep up with. And then what about those disruptions that aren't just individual, but out in the world that involve all of us, right? Anybody remember the year 2020? No, I ask, but I kind of try to forget that one, right? But when I experience disruption in my life, who do I turn to? Usually, I would turn to Jesus, right? I would take it to Jesus in prayer. And that's what makes today's gospel reading so unsettling. Because what happens when Jesus is the one doing the disrupting? Well, you see, friends, disruption is always inconvenient, but it isn't always bad. In this season of Lent, we're preaching through a series called Cutting the Noise, Listening for God in a Busy World. And so today what I want us to think about is how sometimes God can disrupt our lives to cut through the noise, to get our attention, to help us finally listen. Sometimes God uses disruption to get our attention so we can finally listen. And before I go much further, I want to pause for a moment and make something very clear theologically. What I want to talk about today is that kind of disruption that's maybe not comfortable, but that God might bring into our lives for our good and to help us because God loves us. And then there's the other kind of disruption where things from the world that are hurtful to us or harmful to us happen and also disrupt us, but I don't believe God causes those things, but God can still work in and through those circumstances. You see the distinction. It's really important. We're going to talk about that first one today. So with that in mind, we think about how we can sometimes get so locked in our familiar rhythms, in the comfortable patterns of our life that we can miss hearing God's voice. And so sometimes God might need to do something big and bold to get our attention. And that seems to be, at least in part, what Jesus is up to in this gospel reading today. So I want to dig into this story and unpack it a bit. So first, I'd like to name the elephant in the room. What's going on with Jesus in this story, right? Jesus talks a lot about love and peace and joy, but is it just me or does it look a little bit like a temper tantrum today? Anyone else notice that? Okay, I'm not crazy. I mean, he gets a whip of cords and he drives people out of the temple. And now I confess I've had some bad days, but I have never once been compelled to get a whip and start chasing you all out of here on a Sunday morning. It's never even crossed my mind. And Jesus losing his temper and seeming to result or resorting even to violence, it seems so out of character, right? So what's going on here? Well, here's the thing. I'm not sure Jesus lost his temper at all. I don't think he was out of control. I think he was being intentional. Dramatic? Yes. Frightening? Probably. Angry? Definitely. But out of control? I don't think so. And here's one of the reasons why. If you read the same story in Mark's gospel, Mark tells the story a slightly different way. He puts Jesus going into the temple after he enters into Jerusalem in the evening or late in the day, quietly observing, watching everything that's going on, then going home going away for the night to sleep on it. And then he comes back the next day and does this. See the difference there? There's a lot going on. Why would Jesus do this? Well, to get a better idea, I think it's helpful to know a few of the key things about the temple and how it operated in Jesus' day. Three key things to know are, one, what's going on with the temple sacrifice. That has to do with the animals in the story. Second is the temple tax. That has to do with the money changers. And then third is the Jewish pilgrimage festivals, which is about the Passover. So let's start there, the Passover. It was one of three Jewish pilgrimage festivals where Jewish people from far and wide would travel to Jerusalem to the temple for worship and sacrifice. This would be people that even lived beyond Israel, Jews that were out in other lands in the diaspora and things like that would come back for these festivals. And so what that means is, in the story today, these aren't just local everyday people at the temple. This was a special occasion with people who would come from all over, right? Which gets us to the animals part of the story. So people would sacrifice doves or sheep or cattle, and it was impractical to travel with these animals far distances. And so they needed these things. And so the leaders of the temple in that day said, well, hey, we can just set up shop and sell these right here when people arrive. So that's what would happen. They would sell doves, cattle, sheep, things like that, with a little markup on the side. So you can see where this is maybe going. And then there's the temple tax, and that's what the money changers have to do with. Scripture says that every male 20 years and older was required to pay a temple tax annually. This comes from Exodus 30, so we'll look at that for a second together. This is what each one who is registered shall give, a half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary. The shekel is 20 gerahs. In case you were wondering how many gerahs, there you go, 20 gerahs. I know we were all wondering that, right? Half a shekel, I digress. Half a shekel as an offering to the Lord. Each one who is registered from 20 years old and upward shall give the Lord's offering. So people would come, and the money changers were there because most of the coins in circulation were Roman coins, which would have had stamped on them the image of Caesar, which would have been idolatrous. So those were not acceptable to use in the temple for the offering. So money changers would conveniently be there to change out these Roman coins for Jewish coinage so that they would be acceptable for the offering. You see, the Roman coins weren't acceptable for that, but they were acceptable to line the money changers' pockets. And so you can kind of see what's going on. So to help get in the frame of this, imagine you were one of these people traveling for this experience. Imagine you're a Jewish family, you live outside the borders of Israel somewhere, and you're working hard trying to make ends meet. You try to feed your family. You try to make enough to pay the taxes to these Romans, this occupying oppressive force that keeps you and your family and your community always afraid because they can do anything to you at any time. You've seen it happen. But you continue to pray. You continue to pray to the God of Israel. And when that time comes, three times a year, you get your family ready and you get on the road and make that trip to Jerusalem. It's not convenient. It's not easy, but you're excited because you go hoping to experience something holy, this sense of community and holiness, something profound. You want to be assured that God hears you, that God is with you, that God hasn't forgotten you. And so you go and you get there and you brought your offering to pay the temple tax, but of course it's a Roman coin and you can't use that, so you have to change it with these money changers. It's convenient that they're there, but they sure do charge an up fee. They must make a huge profit off this. And of course, you couldn't bring your animals that you had back home, so you have to purchase something there. And it's nice that they're there and convenient, but my goodness, it's so much more than you would pay for these anywhere else. It seems like they get more expensive every year. You can't bring your own, so you pay the price. And you have to wonder, what's going on here? But you do it anyway because you want to experience community and worship and God's presence. And so you can start to see why Jesus got so upset. He walks into his Father's house that's supposed to be a house of prayer for all people, that's supposed to be a place for people to come and experience God's love and provision and righteousness and justice. And people, and this is for people who were hurting, people who were afraid, for everyone. And instead, Jesus walks in and finds greed and exploitation, injustice, even idolatry. These barriers that have been put up that were keeping the common people from a God who loved them, who was calling them to come and worship. Now, I don't know if the temple leaders in Jesus' day were horrible people, evil people. Maybe not. But what we see in the story is that the temple leaders had gotten comfortable with their patterns of exploitation. They'd gotten comfortable with their patterns of injustice and idolatry to the point where they'd become blind to it. Their practices had become so normal that no one even questioned it. And so Jesus walks in and he sees in front of him a system and a scene that was so far off that he knew that no subtle hint was going to do. Only disruption would serve. Only by causing a scene of this magnitude would he get their attention enough to finally hear what God was trying to say to them. See, sometimes God uses disruption to get our attention so we can finally listen. God is speaking, but are we listening? God is speaking to us, but sometimes I confess if it's not quite what I want to hear, I maybe tune it out. I'm like, I don't know, it's a little fuzzy, God. I can't quite hear you. There's some static going on. I think of it like this, like my children sometimes love them, but they like to play video games, and I'll say it's time to be done and come do these chores, and their ears stop working. Am I alone in this? And I have to go stand between them and the screen and literally disrupt what's happening before they pay attention. Sometimes I think that's like us. Sometimes our relationship with God can be that way too, right? So are there any comfortable patterns in your life that might be getting in the way of hearing God? Are there any places in my life where the allure of a comfortable pattern has blinded me to the practices of injustice in my heart or in the world around me? Are there places in my life where the siren song of normalcy has lulled me to apathy? Apathy being an atrophy of our souls. So friends, what are the comfortable patterns in your life that might be getting in the way of the plans God has for you? You know, I think about how it's not convenient for me or comfortable even to spend hours of my busy, busy life standing on my feet working at Queenie Park for Feed the Need this April, but I look forward to that holy disruption, the blessing of that time of serving beside hundreds of others to cultivate compassion and generosity and save the lives of kids we'll never even meet. It's not always comfortable for me to be in a relationship, to be in relationships with people that have different perspectives or views than me, but Jesus calls us to disrupt the norm of division and create a better way, the Jesus way, the diverse and beautiful body of Christ. It's not always comfortable to talk about my faith in Jesus with my neighbors who don't believe in anything, but I know that God's love for them is limitless, and I see their loneliness, and so I pray, God, disrupt my day with holy opportunities to share your love and your story. Sometimes when God speaks to us, it's a word of comfort and peace and joy, and I cherish those moments resting in God's presence. But I also know that sometimes when God speaks, it's a call to step outside our spiritual comfort zone. Listening to God isn't always comfortable, but it is always good. And so this week, I invite you to take this question with you. How is God calling me to step outside my spiritual comfort zone? May the voice of God cut through the noise of complacency and speak words of holy disruption into your life. May you take hold of the unexpected opportunities God lays in your path to impact the lives of those around you. May you experience the exhilarating way of Jesus as you step outside your spiritual comfort zone this week. Will you pray with me? God, we long to hear from you in our lives, but we often want to hear, well, what we want to hear, God. And sometimes your words disrupt our expectations and our norms, but we open ourselves to whatever you have for us today, God. Shake things up, stir our hearts, pour out your spirit that we might be moved and changed, inspired. And Lord, lead us and guide us. Quiet the noise that surrounds us so that we might hear you more and follow you more each day. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.